So about 5 years ago, I was engaged to be married. And for some strange reason, I thought it would be the perfect time to go camping with my parents and my fiancé. I know, but I don't know what I was thinking. I wasn't really realizing that not only were my parents crazy, but I hadn't actually sealed the deal with my fiancé. So to give you a bit of an idea of what my parents are like, they live in Alberta, and they live in a double-wide trailer with wood shingles stained with used motor oil. Okay? Very unique. My dad's English, so he's got the prerequisite bad temper. And my mom is kind of like the perennial troublemaker, okay? She's always kind of amping up the drama. When they go camping, they do chandelier camping, which is you bring everything, the weed whacker, the queen-size bed, the chandelier, okay? My fiancé at the time was totally different. He was like an expert outdoorsman. He was half German, so you know Germans, the rougher it is, the more they like it. There's a reason they got that far in World War II, right? They're hikers. They like to march. So the other thing that complicated things was he was also training to be a neurosurgeon. So my parents wanted to make him happy. You know, he only had 2 days off a year, that whole thing. So we decided we would have to do extreme camping like he did, okay? And we were going to go to Banff, about 3 hours from my parents' place. So a week before the camping trip, I called my mom and I said, Mom, JP wants to know if you want him to bring the little camp stove. And she said, no, don't worry about it. We're going to bring the gas barbecue. I said, no, Mom, it's not. Remember, we're doing extreme stuff. You're like on TV, Survivor. Oh, don't worry, I was just kidding, right? And that was the first clue. So we fly out there a week later, and it takes about 2 hours to drive to their place. We rent a car. We get inside the house, put our backpacks down, and Mom hands me this blueberry pie. What's this? Take it out to your father. He's packing for the camping trip. And I can feel the presence of my fiancé, like, what? Blueberry pie, hiking, how does this work? But I kind of slithered out with the pie. And around the side of the house, my father is packing the old 1970s camper. The one that inspired the Tetris video game, you know, because it's like a cube that falls onto your pickup truck. And he's in a mood, because it's my father. And so I wasn't going to say, you know, what happened to the whole tent thing. I just gave him the pie. I said, Mom wants you to put this somewhere in the camper where it won't fall. So he takes it, and he says, well, here, you put it on the kitchen table in the camper. So I go there, I put the pie in, go back to the house. Now, the plan is that we're going to drive up to Banff, we're going to take our rental, and we're going to follow Mom and Dad in the camper. So as we're headed out the door, Mom hands us this walkie-talkie. Again, you know, it's that third sense of, like, there's someone looking at me. I know who it is, my fiancé. And I know he's thinking, not only are we going to be eating blueberry pie in the Tetris cube tonight, but I'm going to be talking to my future mother-in-law for 3 hours on the way, okay? So we get in the car, and we head out, following the camper, and we're going to stop at the gas station just to fuel up. And as we're pulling in, the walkie-talkie starts to crackle. And we hear this scream from my mother. Oh, my God! And with my family, it could be anything. Someone could have a stroke. Someone could have forgotten a magazine somewhere. You never know. So I grabbed the walkie-talkie. Mom, what happened? The pie! And the brakes screech on. The camper stops. And this mass of black cloud gets out of the front. And my fiancé and I are watching this from the car, and it's my father. And he runs to the back of the camper, and he rips the flimsy door open, and he disappears in the darkness. Okay? And then he emerges, like, seconds later, and he's in a rage. And because this is a PG evening, I will give the abridged version of what he said. He said, oh, boy, there's pie all over the place. Followed by some deep breaths, and we're still in the car, like, watching this. That's it! I'm not going camping with a bunch of people like you. And he storms off to the gas station, because we're still going. This is how our family trips work. Like, he has to threaten to cancel it in the first hour. So I look at my fiancé, and, like, he's half German, so any emotion, like, just freaks him out, right? But the good thing was that the walkie-talkies were silent for the three-hour trip up there. So we finally get to Banff. And, you know, it's like organic coffee shops. It's a little yuppie town. And the kind of place that my mother just can't deal with, right? Because she's always got to be contrarian. She's Irish. And we pull into the tourist bureau. She gets out. There's a young woman behind the tourist desk. And, hi, can I help you? My mom goes, yes, you can start by dropping napalm on a 25-mile radius. So this poor young woman, like, nobody's trained her for that, for my mother, right? Because, like, who says that? So fortunately, she recovered, and she was able to recommend a hiking path for the next day. So the next day, we head out, and the path starts behind this beautiful old hotel by this lake, and it's a boardwalk. And, you know, there's millions of Japanese tourists, and they're all going along the boardwalk, because this is their hiking trip, too. And then the minute the boardwalk ends and turns into the dirt path, no more Japanese people, okay? Just us. And now it's just Europeans, right, the first hour. We're going up about 1,200 feet. And after about 2 hours, guess who's left, right? It's only us and the Germans. And I turn around and I see that my fiancé is in his element. Like, this he loves, right? We're roughing it. And then I look back at my parents, and my mother has insisted on bringing her handbag, her purse, we call it in Canada, which is this old lady's purse. It's massive, this leather thing, and it's slouched on her back like this. And they've got their cowboy boots on, and their tight cowboy jeans, and they're just sweating up a storm, okay? Just exasperated that this is happening. So finally we get to the top. And lo and behold, there's an alpine tea house. So thank God Mom has brought her purse, right? So we sit down and we have sandwiches and tea, and it's very nice. And then my father asks to excuse himself, just to go to the washroom. So he leaves. We pay up. We're waiting. 5 minutes. 10. 15. And I'm, you know, 20. 25 minutes. Dad finally comes back. And I didn't say anything, because you just never know, so I just left it. So we pay, you know, we start down the hill, and it's actually tougher to going down the hill, because the sun is high in the sky at this point, it's getting really hot, and we're stripping off clothes, down to t-shirts, pants rolled up. And I turn and look at my dad, and he's got his polyester baseball jacket, and it's zipped all the way to the top. And I said, Dad, what, you know, take your jacket off. Come on, you're sweating up a storm here. Take your jacket. I don't know. A few minutes pass. Dad, this is crazy. You're going to have a stroke here. Take your jacket off. I can't. Well, why not? I don't have anything on underneath it. And you know that, for any kid, that's kind of weird, right? To hear your parents say something like that, like, are they into some weird thing you don't know about, or... So, but also, if you come from a family that has anybody English, you know that the best humor is the one that comes at somebody else's expense. So sniffing blood, I pursued. I said, wait, what do you mean you don't have anything on underneath it? Well, I had to use it. And, you know, silence, right? Everybody stops. What? You had to use it? There was no toilet paper in the outhouse. This is true, and this is not a Traumarama story. This is a true story. So we laughed all the way down the mountain. It's probably saved the entire camping trip. So that night, Dad actually slept in the tent because we had stuck it in the camper just as a lark. I think he was so mortified. And the next morning, we got up, and we were getting ready to leave for later that day, and Mom put the bar of soap on the picnic table. It was our only bar of soap, okay? And this big, beautiful black crow swooped down from the trees, grabbed that soap, and flew off. We chased that crow for a good 10 minutes, I swear to God. And it would hop from branch to branch. And I thought, when is it going to realize it's not a potato, it's just soap? And it kept that soap. So my father was never given the opportunity to clean up, which is like the craziest part of the story. So we were very glad to have our own vehicle going back from that trip, my fiance. I was sure that he was going to ask for his ring back at the end of this disaster, but he didn't, and we got married a year later. We've been happily married since, but we have never gone camping again.